be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where today I'm delighted to be joined by Danny Siris, with his vast background in law enforcement, the perfect guy to be discussing this latest rash of developments, where I think what happened in Columbus, combined with LeBron James' absurd intervention and Valerie Jarrett's tweets, has all but destroyed the Democrats' very carefully laid out plan to use racism to destroy law enforcement in this country. It's absolutely astonishing they should have embarked on this venture, but I think it's just been virtually brought to a calamitous halt. Let me begin with a background about the shooting in Columbus, Ohio. A military veteran neighbor of this woman, Mahalia Bryan, has said his home security camera footage proves Columbus police officer Nicholas Reardon had no choice but to shoot the black 16-year-old because more people could have been killed if he had not acted. Donovan Brinson told Fox Thursday morning he believes Bryant could have fatally stabbed the young woman she was lunging at with a knife if the cop hadn't opened fire. Quote, he could have either not fired and the young lady in pink could have been stabbed in the neck and brutally or fatally injured, and then he could shoot Bryant, or we could have two young women dead, or he could have responded in the way he did and one young lady lost her life. This fellow, by the way, is himself also black. He's, a veteran. The new footage from his security camera was across the street, capturing a new angle on the shooting, giving a glimpse on the moments leading up to the fatal incident. The 26-second video shows a girl, now known to be Bryant, walking down a driveway toward other people at the very moment a police car pulls up outside the home. She then suddenly charges at another person in the driveway. This is a smaller black girl who's in a pink sweatsuit type outfit or jogging outfit and holding a small dog, where she has quite a substantial, a very large knife in her hand. Bryant then charges, and what happened was captured on the footage. Questions mounted about the events, a 9/11 call thought to be made by the very woman Bryant before she died, in which he asked a dispatcher to send a police officer now as some girls are trying to stab us, which sounds a bit inconsistent since she appears to be the one doing the stabbing. I'm showing Danny now where he can see, but you won't until you check out the video version of the show today. You can see this one girl is maybe twice the size of the other, and she has a very large knife, and she's about to plunge it into the other girl. Columbus police released three body camera videos at a press conference as the cop who shot her was identified. He'd been on the force a little over a year, joining in December 2019 after serving in the Air National Guard as a military policeman. Bryant is seen holding a knife, charging at two other young women. She appeared to be lunging at the second with a knife when Reardon opened fire. The killing of the black girl sparked protests over police brutality and, of course, systemic racism, which I believe is a phantom, no more real than the coronavirus pandemic. Coming just minutes before, white former cop Derek Chauvin was convicted of the murder of George Floyd, and as another Columbus cop was charged with a murder in the December killing of Andre Hill. Military veteran Brinson told Fox he believed Reardon was put in a bad spot when he arrived on the scene and had just seconds to respond with his best judgment. Actually, he didn't even have seconds. Here we have a photograph of Ira Graham III. Looks like a very decent, serious guy. Watching this, unfortunately, the whole scenario put the officer in a bad spot. The neighbor told the Columbus Dispatch he came to the conclusion the cop had no choice but to shoot Bryant after he watched his home security footage of the altercation. Now, Danny, I'm going to play this. This is a video report about it, which is pretty good and pretty balanced, but I have more. Let's take a look at this.
911 call. Within about 10 seconds of Columbus police arriving at the scene on the southeast side of the city.
Hey, get down.
Officer Nicholas Reardon shoots and kills 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant. Police played the video in slow motion to give the public a better understanding of what happened in this moment. Bryant can be seen holding a knife in her right hand and attempts to stab another girl. At that moment, Reardon shoots and kills Bryant.
What I can say is when officers are faced with someone...
This is a chief of police.
Deadly force can be the response the officer gives.
Interim Police Chief Michael Woods did not go as far as saying Reardon's actions were justified.
He came after me.
Safety Director Ned Pettis called this a horrendous tragedy, but asked the community not to rush to judgment.
We have to ask ourselves, what information did the officer have? What did he see? How much time did he have to assess the situation? And what would have happened if he had taken no action at all?
I'm a father. Her family is grieving, regardless of the circumstances associated with this. A 16-year-old girl lost her life yesterday. I sure as hell wish it hadn't happened.
BCI is investigating this incident. Neighbors out there, I was out in the community today, and neighbors are saying that Bryant is the one who called 911, but the police chief would not confirm that today. He also would not confirm whether this happened in front of the house where Bryant was living, but someone who came to the door, a woman told me she was Bryant's foster mother. Reporting live in Columbus tonight, Karen Johnson, WLWT News 5.
Danny, I want to get your take on this. I know you've seen the video several times, and I have another clip here where Mark Dice actually does a brilliant job of addressing these issues, but I want to get your preliminary take right off the bat.
Well, you know, I sent you a preliminary report on it the other day, Dr. Fetzer, after I looked at it several times, but if I'm assuming this is a real situation, I mean, you know, the officer walks right up and he's seeing deadly force being used right away on somebody. A knife is considered deadly force, a knife or a firearm. So, you know, anytime you see that situation, you have to take some sort of action to protect life. If you don't, and you allow somebody to be stabbed, you know, potentially that could be easily fatal. You know, you're not doing your job as a police officer. He really only had a few seconds. I mean, he drew his weapon pretty quickly, and he fired pretty quickly as soon as he saw the knife. And the girl was getting ready to stab the other girl. You know, it's a tough situation to be in. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I didn't see any reason to doubt that the officer had acted inappropriately, yes. that he'd acted appropriately, totally appropriate as I see it, Danny. The smaller girl was, you know, cringing against a car. She was holding a little dog, it appears. She dropped the dog when the larger girl lunged at her. I mean, with that big knife, it was coming down. If he'd not shot her, I have no doubt whatsoever she would have been stabbed, probably fatally, would be my surmise. And look, the one girl's twice as big as the other. I think my opinion, Danny, is this was a completely justified shoot.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it. You know, people are yelling about her, the suspect's age. That's irrelevant. The age makes no difference how old you are. She could have been 12 years old. It doesn't matter. The relevance was, did she have a real deadly weapon in her hand? And was she capable of using that deadly weapon to take someone else's life? And that's the decision that went through the officer's head, I'm sure. And he had to act. I mean, it was either that or he would have ended up shooting two of them after, you know, if he allowed the stabbing to happen. Then one would have got stabbed, could have died, and then he would have shot the other one anyway, and then they would have criticized them for waiting too long.
Yeah, I agree, Danny. So, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't. But, I mean, look, what was the choice? I think as the report had it, we might have had two girls dead, because if she'd been allowed to stab the smaller in the pink outfit, I suspect that would have been fatal. I mean, just looking at the trajectory, the force with which it would have been delivered and so forth, right into the area of her neck and her upper chest, that looked to me like a probably fatal outcome. And then he would have shot the other girl. Instead, you know, and this is as a military veteran was observing, instead, he saved the one girl's life. So here you have a white cop shooting one black girl who is the aggressor to save the life of another. I don't think this fits the agenda that the Democrats are wanting to promote, Danny. And I think it's very revealing. Here we have a report by Mark Dice, which also ties in with how LeBron James mucked into this. And I think LeBron really did a stunning job of discrediting himself by putting up a photograph of the officer with a little, you know, hourglass to imply the time was running out for the officer and holding him accountable. Check out what Mark Dice had to say here. I think he's spot on.
Well, I did tell you that within 24 hours of the George Floyd trial wrapping up, that the Black Lives Matter movement would have a new saint to rally behind. And they found one in 16-year-old, whatever her name was, out of Columbus, Ohio, who tried to stab two different girls, and then the police officer thankfully saved them by putting her down. You probably saw the video by now, but I'm going to show you and tell you what nobody else will, and that is the whole truth about what really happened. The reason that the footage from the body cam got released so soon is because the girl's aunt held a press conference shortly after the incident and completely lied about what happened, whipping Twitter into a frenzy as usual.
You know what they did? She didn't have no knife or nothing in her hand.
Tell the truth.
They came up to this 15-year-old girl, shot her four times.
Tell the truth.
The knife was on the ground. Shot her four times. Okay? Yeah, she had a knife in her hand, but it was way before they shot her. She had already dropped the knife. And the news is reporting some bullshit. What kind of mother is this? black motherfuckers don't care. They killing black folks. They don't care.
Of course, the body cam footage from the officer shows exactly what happened, and he knew the situation that he was getting into as soon as he pulled up, because whoever called 911 reported that somebody had a knife and was trying to stab people. And how stupid was this girl to attack the others as soon as the police actually pulled up? An intelligent person would have ran into the house and then denied that there was a knife at all. They wouldn't have actually continued to use it right in front of the cop. And why wasn't her dad arrested for attacking the other girl? Because it appears that it was him who tried to kick her in the head after the daughter already threw her to the ground and tried to stab her. It looks like she's a foster kid and those were her foster parents, so she's from a single mother. And you're not supposed to talk about the problems of single mothers and fatherless homes in certain communities, which is the norm, about 75% of them, by the way, because that's considered to be... Of course, anybody with an ounce of common sense knows that that is the root of most problems in society, but if you can't admit what the problem is to begin with, then you certainly can't get to work on solving it, and it's much easier for certain people to just blame white people instead. And if you saw the footage, the police officer ordered her numerous times to stop attacking the girls before he did what needed to be done in order to save one of them from getting stabbed. And shortly after it happened, the words four times were one of the top trends on Twitter from so many Black Lives Matter activists complaining that he shot her four times, saying maybe he could have just done it once instead or fired a warning shot. Of course, these morons don't understand how hard it is to hit a moving target, even at close range, and firing one or two shots could easily miss the intended target, which wouldn't have stopped her from stabbing the other girl. Then the lunatics complained that he didn't use his taser. First of all, he was out of range. Second of all, tasers often miss their intended target, and you need both of the prongs to actually hit and stick. Doesn't always work through thick clothing, and he knew from the 911 call that there was a suspect with a knife at the scene, which is why he had his weapon ready when he approached them. Barack Obama's former senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, among many others, took to Twitter to spew completely idiotic opinions about the situation. She said, quote, "A black teenage girl named," whatever her name was, I'm not going to play their game and deify these people, "was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability. Fight for justice," she says. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. First of all, it wasn't a knife fight because only one person had a knife. It was an attempted stabbing. Second of all, this officer should really be commended for deciding to act immediately and potentially saving that other girl's life. And since celebrities know what's best, LeBron James, best known for bouncing a ball around to entertain people, posted a picture of the alleged officer who was involved in the incident and then said, "You're next." No tweets about that 7-year-old girl in Chicago who was killed when her and her father were sitting in their car waiting at a fast food drive-thru, however. No celebrities are stepping up to pay for her funeral. Her family's not being interviewed on CNN and other major media outlets 24/7 to denounce gun violence. No. Her story was a 15-second soundbite on the news, and it's forgotten. If you were to watch the local news in Chicago, sadly, stories like this happen all the time. Kids get killed in gang crossfire on a regular basis. And years ago, somebody told me how many people get shot in Chicago on an average holiday weekend, like a 3-day weekend. I thought they were totally nuts, and they told me to look it up. And I pulled up my phone, and I looked it up. And sure enough, on like Labor Day, Memorial Day, and 4th of July weekends, year after year after year, it's dozens. And when I say dozens, I mean many dozens. It's like 50 people. One year, I think it was 68 people over one holiday weekend. 68 people over a weekend. This side of NBC Chicago, last May, when the George Floyd riots first kicked off, that weekend alone in Chicago, more than 80 people shot, 21 killed. And just like I predicted the story about that mass shooting at a local college bar in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where 3 people were killed and another 3 injured, vanished from the headlines and from the airwaves as soon as the identity of the suspect became known. And like I mentioned in a previous video, the actual identity of the suspect became dumped down the memory hole as well, because just pointing out that the suspect is black is considered to be... The White House released a statement on that 16-year-old girl with the knife who got herself killed, saying that, quote, The killing of 16-year-old, whatever her name was, by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family and the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people and communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. What happened there wasn't police violence, it was police protection. And do you want to know the big secret about why certain people have more run-ins with the police? It's because they commit more crimes. Imagine not understanding that. That would be like not understanding why somebody who rides motocross for a living tends to get injured more often than people in other professions, like, say, an accountant. Gee, I don't know why people who ride motocross keep breaking their collarbones more often than accountants do. I don't know either, but it's probably because of racism. I probably shouldn't get into mentioning certain statistics about crime in this video because groups like the ADL and others have deemed those statistics to be I do detail them in my books, however, which you can get in paperback on Amazon.com by clicking the link in the description below. You know how you have to take driver's ed in school? Well, there should be a police ed in school where the students have to be taught how not to act around police and shown videos about what happens when they play stupid games that they win stupid prizes. Seems everybody in America is tired of what the Black Lives Matter movement is doing to this country, ruining it, of course, including the Black Lives Matter movement themselves. They have a verified Twitter account for one of the Black Lives Matter Global Initiative, you know, organizations, the one that's run by that woman who bought millions of dollars worth of real estate. They have a verified Twitter account, and they just tweeted out that, quote, Biden is currently sending more military equipment to our neighborhoods than Trump did. You read that right. Our communities are being terrorized at a greater rate than they had been under Trump. I'm sure they are being terrorized, but if you want to find out who's responsible for that, just look in the mirror. And did you see the video that just went viral showing the Black Lives Matter mob shouting at a bunch of people eating dinner in New York that white people aren't allowed to own restaurants there and that they had to leave? They're not even allowed to live there. I can't play the clip for copyright reasons. I don't want to get into it, but there are these certain viral video agencies out there, Viral Hog and Storyful, and if you play their clips without buying the rights to them, it causes a problem. But you can take my word for it, or you should actually just go and look it up for yourself. Maybe I'll link it up on my Gab and on my Telegram account, because you really should see it. Of course, that's not a national news story. An angry mob telling white people that they need to leave the city or perhaps even the state. But that white guy who shoved a Black man who was apparently loitering and pestering people in his neighborhood, and he wouldn't leave. That was a national news story, and he was arrested. Anyway, I'm tired of talking about the bowel movement that's dominating the narrative in the mainstream media, so I'm going to move on to other things. But subscribe to my channel if you're new here. If you guys enjoy watching my videos, head on over to my...
Let me say, Danny, I thought that was just a brilliant critique by Mark Dice, and he covered so many bases. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, he covered the story very well, you know, on what we saw on video initially. I mean, you know, Dr. Fetz, I get so frustrated. I have so much to say on this. I'm not sure where this is going. But, you know, this whole BLM thing, you know, every time something like this happens, you know, Black violence is on the rise. It just is. I listen to the scanner still. I hear what's going on. I hear the descriptions of the suspect. I know what's going on. The newspaper always hides it. I mean, they just, it's like people of color are getting a pass to commit murder. I'm really tired of it. They're getting a pass to commit crime. They're getting a pass. It's just ridiculous. We're supposed to accept for some reason now that they can commit violence at will. I mean, it's totally unacceptable. That, you know what? It needs to stop. Nobody's giving them a pass that I know. The police aren't giving them a pass. The media is. The Democrats want to give them a pass. And I believe what he said. You know, people are sick and tired of this whole thing. You know, I saw what he's talked about in New York at the restaurant. Those people have no right to do that. They should have been arrested immediately for doing that. Absolutely ridiculous that this is going on. And I'm tired of the violence myself. It's just constant out of Chicago. The shoot. You know, if a Black person, sir, shoots another Black person, it's like it's okay for some reason. you know, oh, that's just a black person shot another black person. Or if a black person stabs anybody, and that's all right, it was a black person. You know what I mean? But if it was a white person involved in any way, or the police got involved and they happened to be white, now all of a sudden it's a bad thing. You know, let's talk a little bit about the LeBron tweet. You know, what was LeBron really upset about? I don't even understand. Did he actually send that tweet? Was it his handlers? I'm wondering, why would he even get involved in something like that when he doesn't even know the facts? I mean, is he suggesting to the police that, you know what, you don't interfere with a black person while they're in the commission of stabbing somebody? You know, you don't do that. That's what he's telling the world. You know, you just go ahead and allow that to happen, because when we decide to stab somebody, that's our business. We're black. We can stab whoever we want to stab. And it's not for the police to get involved and try to hinder that in some kind of way. That's really what his text is suggesting. That's how idiotic it is. You know, and it's absolutely ridiculous that he got involved. He should have been suspended for the NBA from that. All kinds of things should have happened. It was so ridiculous. And then posting that picture of the police officer, I mean, no fine from the NBA for that at all. I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, he doesn't get a pass from me. I think LeBron's destroying the NBA. Nobody I know watches the NBA anymore. I certainly don't. I used to watch it. I don't watch it anymore. I tuned it out a long time ago. You know, he's destroyed it along with others. And I'm tired of this. And I'll tell you what, I'm not giving anybody a pass for any crime. I don't care if you're from man on the moon, if you're from Mars. I don't care where you are. You know, we have laws in this country. And when you live inside of the United States, you're going to follow those freaking laws. And if you don't follow them, get out. You're going to end up in jail, or you're going to end up getting shot and killed by the police that enforce those laws. That's just the way it is, sir. That's how I feel about it.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. Not only did LeBron commit an enormous gaffe, and the feedback, and he's been savaged on the social media for this, where he's tried to double down. So there's really no doubt about this having originated from LeBron James. But that reject was complaining about a cop bringing the gun to a knife fight. Well, pick three reasons. Hey, but he's here.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Well,
Danny.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host, with Danny Suris as my guest today, and we're talking about what I regard as a triple or even quadruple whammy to the Democrats, anti-gun control, anti-police law enforcement agenda and their gun control agenda. I think they're taking major hits. We had Chauvin convicted, and there's an oddity in the trial. In fact, many oddities. Miles Mathis has even gone so far as to suggest the whole thing was a staged and nationally televised trial, and making quite a few rather telling points about it. But where, when he was convicted of all three offenses, second degree murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter, I thought that was very, very curious. I would have thought ordinarily they would bring one verdict, namely the strongest on which they could agree, which in this case would have been second-degree murder, which was the unintentional killing, you know, of a person through actions that clearly were endangering them. Paul Craig Roberts has published, by the way, why he thinks this was a wrongful verdict, why the evidence that he actually died of a drug overdose is more obvious and compelling as an alternative, with which I completely agree. But the point I'm making now is the following. The verdict, finding him guilty on all three, meant they couldn't have a justification based on the Chauvin trial, which they would have had had it been an acquittal or a hung jury, for additional rioting and looting in the cities across America. So it would appear they have now needed some other event. Now, what happened in Columbus appears to me to have been totally legitimate. I believe the officer had only a fraction of a second to react. The idea he should have used his taser or fired a warning shot are both ridiculous and absurd. It would have taken long enough to get the taser. The girl would have already been severely stabbed. I mean, it would have been pointless. So here you have a very appropriate action by a white police officer saving the life of a black girl by shooting another more aggressive black girl, much larger, wielding this huge knife. I think there's no way you can come down with this not having been a justifiable shoot. But I want to point out that there are propagandists in the media who, of course, would still like to promote it as though it were racist. Here we have in the Wisconsin State Journal today, Leonard Pitts. I've sometimes corresponded with him. He wrote as follows. a girl goes sprawling to the pavement as a guy kicks at her. And by the way, Danny, I think that's a very peculiar aspect of all this, that there's this man who apparently is the foster father kicking this other girl before the shooting occurs. I want to ask you about your take on that. This Mahia charges at another girl, knife in hand. That girl is backed up against a car, nowhere to go. Reardon fires four shots. Now, what he leaves out of that account, of course, is that she was lunging at her with a knife, with a big knife, and about to bring it down on her. Here are two other reports. Ohio activist Kara Yakita accused officials of rushing to make excuses for Reardon. Frankly, he doesn't need any excuse. He was protecting the young black girl from being potentially murdered by the older. And even if you called it second degree, man, I mean, I think it would have been fatal. Joy Ann Reed, who I regard as a obvious propagandist on MSNBC, get this, faulted him for failing to talk the teenage girls down. Talk the teenage girls down? Danny, I mean, some of this is absurd beyond belief. And then for LeBron to get involved in this thing, and what's, in my opinion, so sensational about this is that LeBron has so much prominence. Everyone in America is going to know that LeBron waded in and implied he's next, that the police officer would be next. He put this little hourglass running out of time, implying that the police officer ought to be taken out himself. In other words, in my opinion, what LeBron posted is an invitation to an assassination. And then you have Valerie Jarrett, whom everyone knows is Barack Obama's right-hand woman. Valerie Jarrett complaining about a police officer bringing a gun to a knife fight and then extolling the virtues of girls having fights with knives. Danny, this is just unbelievable. It's staggering in its implications because it means, according to Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama by implication, and LeBron James, and even Leonard Pitts, not to mention Joy Reid, police have no role here in law enforcement, which means, of course, people are just going to be murdered willy-nilly. We know, we have reports that rape in New York City, for example, has already gone up 400%. What do you think is going to happen if we had no law enforcement in this country? It's going to be like the Wild West. Gangs are going to roam. We're going to have a horrendous situation. And yet that is what the Democrats are inviting. That is what the Democrats are supporting. That is, it appears, what the Democrats want. I think the whole country is going to gag over this. It's so repulsive. It's so un-American. It's so putting every life at risk for the sake of the Democrats' agenda and their attempt to control more political power in America. Danny, I want your thoughts on all of the above, but I think this is having a devastating effect on the Democrats' defund the police movement and, of course, therefore, on their attempt to take our, to grab our guns. Because no American, and then confronted with the prospect that law enforcement won't be there to protect them, is going to be willing to give up their guns. I think they've done quite a job on themselves in very short order. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, that's quite a bit, Dr. Fetzer. So I got the picture in my mind, and the words I want to use on LeBron James are they're four letter, and I'm going to refrain from using them on your radio show. But, you know, he is definitely a piece of work. You know, he's beyond disgusting in my mind. He should just focus on his craft of playing basketball, bringing joy to people with his talent, and stay out of politics, of which he knows nothing about, and especially stay out of law enforcement when he has no training whatsoever in law enforcement. His training is in playing basketball. Has nothing to do with the laws of this country, you know, and the laws of escalation used by law enforcement. You know, it's so disgusting to see him try to use his popularity to drive a political point when the thing was a lie. He's so stupid for not waiting. You know, it's just beyond ridiculous, sir. You know, as I look at that video over and over again, there are some anomalies in that video. And, you know, I don't want to be a guy that always points out conspiracies, but, you know, there are some weird things. Like, he pulls up to the call, and often when you show up to a fight like that, people take off running. Not always, but I find it hard to believe that the fight left the house, came to the front yard right when the police show up. And like you said, it was the stepfather, whatever that guy's role was. And he's kicking a minor. You know, I don't understand the kicking. Why wouldn't he just grab her if he's trying to break up a fight? It makes no sense that a parent would be kicking somebody in the head like that. I don't understand that at all, that he even allowed that to get that far out of control in the first place. If you look at that scene, there's two or three different things going on at the same time. You see the other two girls wrestling. Why would a black girl, even if she's 16 years old, why would she even have a knife in her hand in front of the police? Everybody knows, sir, from a young age, you know what, that you can't hold a weapon like that in front of the police. Everyone knows that if you have a knife in your hand, okay, around the police, they're going to tell you to drop it or they're going to shoot. So the fact that the officer drew his weapon, it's just training. As soon as you see a flash of a blade somewhere within your distance and it's not being held by one of your fellow officers, you're drawing your weapon. That's just training. You're going to draw your weapon until you can secure the scene. So the fact that he drew his gun is just a natural thing that comes from doing drills over and over and over again. It's just a natural thing. They drill for it. You do scenarios. It's just a natural thing. But I just find it hard to believe that the heavyset black girl ignored the police were there and went and drew a knife and tried to stab somebody in front of the police. I mean, that just... I don't know. I'm having a hard time with that, you know. And then he drew his weapon. He fired the four rounds. And when I slow that video down, you know, I guess I'd have to almost give him credit. And I don't mean this in a funny way, but all four rounds, he must have struck exactly the same place, a moving target, because I don't see the shell casings come out of his gun. I can't see the slide of his gun because his camera is mounted below, down somewhere, you know, around his stomach area or on his chest. But I also don't see the impact of the rounds anywhere. I don't see any impact of the car door rounds. I don't see him impact the concrete. I don't see anywhere in the rounds hit. As a matter of fact, I don't see any blood or any impact on the suspect, the girl with the knife, as she gets hit. The other thing is as they, when she's laying on the ground, you know, they lift her shirt up. There's a guy checking on her, checking around her bra and all that. And I don't see any bullet holes in her. I don't see any blood. I just see her sitting there on her back. They roll her over. And I don't see four gunshot wounds. She would be bleeding profusely, sir. I mean, cops use, you know, very powerful rounds in their firearms. They leave a mark. And they cause a lot of bleeding on purpose. And you want to stop a suspect. That's the point of the bullet. And I don't see any of the telltale signs of a shooting. You know, and the more some of the other anomalies I see, the fact that it almost looked like it was sort of almost staged. And then the reaction from the father, he just stands there and doesn't even go to his daughter that was shot. He doesn't even have an, oh, my God, and the mom or the stepmom, whatever her role is. They don't even run to the child. They just stand there. And you know what? He has no emotion whatsoever, really. He just said, you shot my baby. That's it. He just stands there. And it just isn't the normal reaction. The other officer that's standing over to the left that's almost in the line of fire, he doesn't even flinch when the rounds go off. He's in the line of fire. I mean, he's just standing on the other side of the car when the rounds go off, and he doesn't even flinch when you look at it. He's not worried at all that those rounds are coming towards him and going into the car at all. He has no concern whatsoever that the rounds are going off. I don't see any reaction from anybody to the firearm going off. No flinching going on. The other thing that bothers me is after the officer shoots, there's something that takes over in the human body. It's emotional trauma when you're involved with a shooting like that. Your body starts to shake. And when I notice the officer holding his firearm, he's still holding it out after the suspect is down and the knife is gone. He tosses the knife kind of a far distance away, which is, you got to be careful about that because in a situation or a scene like that, it's known that bystanders will pick up evidence, particularly firearms or knives, and try to walk away with evidence. It happens quite often. So you really have to make sure. And he throws it off. He says, let's just get rid of this. And he throws it off. But I notice he has no emotional trauma to him at all. His arms aren't shaking. His hands aren't shaking. He's still holding his handgun very, very steady. And I don't see any emotional trauma. He just, and then he starts to ask silly questions, sir. The other officer that's checking her out while he's standing there, he finally puts his gun in his holster and he asks the other officer, what should I do? What do you want me to do? What should I do? He says it two or three times. And I'm like, why would he be asking the other officer, what should he do? Of course, he already knows what he should be doing. He's already trained. So there's some kind of weird things going on in there, sir. And I can't help but think, after seeing these anomalies, again, I got to say it. I don't see, I would challenge anybody to watch the video. You can't see the impact of the rounds. You can't see the damage on her from the rounds. I would challenge anybody to look through that video. And I can't help, sir, the timing of this event. The way it came out, they're fighting in the yard. It's a white officer. It's a group of black people. You know what? It was very convenient that something like this happened, where a white guy is forced to shoot a black girl. I don't know, sir. It's got some really, those markings on this whole thing that make the hair on the back of my neck stand up every time that happens. Every time that happens, sir, I usually get pretty damn close to what's going on. And I, you know what? I hate to use the word false flag on this, but I'll tell you what. This is very, very suspicious. There's a lot of anomalies going on here, particularly the gunshots, sir.
Danny, this is completely fascinating. One of the reasons why I so value your advice and contributions and collaboration. I mean, we had this with the Dante Wright shooting in, you know, Brooklyn Center adjacent to Minneapolis, where this policewoman with 26 years of experience confuses her handgun or service revolver with her taser, and then fires three times, you know, fires at him, only one shot, but we don't hear the shot. We don't see any recoil. We don't see the weapon automatically reload. She steps back and says, shit, I shot him. And the other officers say, what? But if they witnessed it, heard the shot, and if they would have known, and if he actually had been shot, he wouldn't have been driving off in his car. So we called that out as fraudulent, and now you're making similar points about this one. I find everything you're saying completely credible, Danny. Let's step back and just begin at the beginning with this very bizarre thing of the guy who presumably is supposed to be the stepfather kicking this other girl. I mean, it's a completely different girl. She's wearing shorts. The large woman attacking the girl in the pink, you know, jumpsuit or pink sweatsuit is wearing blue jeans and a black top, and she's very large. She is about twice the size of the girl she's attacking with a knife. So what was going on with this kicking thing, Danny? I found that bizarre in and of itself. Just talk about that part right now. What was your take?
Well, I would like to talk about the Dante Wright thing, but we can...
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Danny.
Which one do you want to cover
first? Take your pick. Take your pick.
Okay. Let's finish off with the girl shooting. What's her name? You know, when you see all the nonsense that's going on from all the cast of characters that's in that video, when the white police officer pulls up their car, the other anomalies I see is, not only the fight, sir, the fight almost looks like play acting and stage, the way the girl's rolling, the fake kick to the head. You know, the officer's in view of all this. Normally, in a situation like that, everybody there is going to be in handcuffs until you see what's going on. Everyone's getting cuffed that's involved with the fight. You got to calm it down. You don't know who's who. So everybody gets cuffed until you figure out what's going on. And, you know, there wasn't a move to do that. And I realize it happened awful fast in video, but I see a lot of play acting going on in there. You know, just that mom and that dad are very suspicious. The words that they use, they show no emotion, no trauma, no nothing in anything that they're saying. You know, oh, you shot? Look at that. Gee, she shot. they just don't react to the gunshots at all like somebody would that's standing that close to the firearm when it went off. There's a lot of nonsense going on. That was a racial event. It's got the earmarks, sir. I cannot help it. It's got the earmarks all over it of a setup, sir. I mean, I'm sorry to say that this time, but I got a call. I feel the hair on the back of my neck standing up when I see. The other thing I want to say about that is the officers, sir. I find it strange. There's two different agencies there. Now, when we see two agencies, it's possible that you could see the sheriff's department and the police department. Often, maybe they're in a neighborhood where, you know, both of them could come together. That's possible in another state. It happens. But what I don't understand is it's not the sheriff's department. Clearly, you have a white uniform and a dark uniform. They both say police on them, okay, but yet they're in two different agencies. Now, why are there two different agencies responding to the call at the same address? I find that very strange, sir. Yet you seem to be using the same police cars, but we got two different sets of uniforms. Now, that's an anomaly, sir, that is very hard to explain that. Most people might not catch that, but that doesn't make sense. So you have the same agency show up for the same call, whether it be sheriff deputies from the sheriff department or whether it be the police department. You're not going to have the sheriff and the police show up because it's a clear jurisdictional call when it comes into 911. Okay, and you're not going to have two different police agencies, two different police departments show up with different color uniforms, sir. That's not going to happen. So there's a big problem with having the different police there immediately on the scene exactly when it goes down. That's a big problem. People have to understand that does not happen. That's not normal, sir, to see that. So that's another anomaly with the shooting.
Well, I certainly... And Danny, your points about the lack of blood and the impact of the bullets, I mean, we saw similarly with the Dante Wright, and, we're evaluating them by similar criteria, and you're doing a dazzling job. I'm very impressed. I mean, could this have been another case of a setup where it was supposed to be a white cop shooting a black person that somehow went awry and backfired? Because it seems to me this case is overwhelmingly working against the Democrats and their defund the police and their gun control agenda. I mean, including, of course, Valerie Jarrett and LeBron James getting involved. This is a fiasco for the Democrats' political agenda. Could it therefore have been staged, as a counter propaganda? I mean, I'm just fascinated.
I almost want to say it's staged, sir. I'm not going to go 100% that. I'm still looking into this. There's a few more things I have to check out. But what I'm saying, sir, is it's got a lot of the flags to it, okay? I'm just going to kind of recap it again. The officer shows up. The fight goes from a fight to a deadly. You know, everybody's standing around with the girl with the knife. Nobody's really reacting. The father's not saying, hey, you drop that knife right now. What kind of a father would not tell his daughter to put a knife down if she was holding it? You know, nobody's going to go to stab somebody with a freaking knife when the cops are standing there with their guns. They're going to, you know, Mark Dice said it. They run into the house and throw the knife away. That's what they're going to do. They know they're going to go to jail. So, I mean, why would you commit a felony like that in front of the cops? I realize she's 15, but 16, whatever they're saying, she's 16. That's old enough to know that, you know what, you don't stab somebody ever, okay, unless somebody's attacking you in your house. But, I mean, you don't stab anybody, and you certainly wouldn't do that in front of the police, okay? That's just common sense. Nobody would do that. So, again, there's a lot of anomalies that the father getting involved in the fight with kicking the girl, sir, the officers not reacting to the gunshots. And you know what? Bullets come out of the gun, sir. They have to go somewhere, okay? I don't see an impact on that body. I'm sorry. I've seen many shootings before. I can see the impact, okay? I can see. I know what a gunshot looks like. I know what someone looks like when they're being shot. And I don't see the impact of the rounds. Are you kidding me? He hit that moving target four times, sir, exactly. I don't see the shell casings coming out of his gun. I mean, they could have went over his shoulder, over to the side, but I don't see him. I went through frame by frame, and I went through every frame of that, and I'm looking for the impact of those rounds. There should have been a round off the concrete or off the car door, breaking a window. Nothing. There's not a bullet hole in that car. So you mean to tell me he hit her square on four times, but then yet with the guy who examines the body, the other guy with a different colored uniform, he finds no bullet holes in the girl? Where'd the bullets go? She got hit with four hollow point rounds. Those are 40 caliber rounds, I would take. Could be 9mm. And she doesn't have profuse blood all over the place. And he's struggling to find the bullet wounds when he's examining her under her shirt. I just find that hard to believe, sir. These are things that, you know what, that are normally there in a normal shooting. You know, maybe your average person doesn't look for those things, but those are the things I look for. I go to look for right away, and I don't see any of that stuff. And when that's absent, sir, the normal evidence that you would see during an event, there are certain things that you should be able to see. And when you don't see them, that starts to put up red flags, sir. And that's what I'm saying about this event. There's a lot of red flags involved in it.
Danny, this is simply sensational. I'm sure everyone out there in our audience is going to agree that you and I want to discuss this more before we take callers. I will take callers probably at the bottom of the second hour. A number for those who want to record, if they don't already have it, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. But don't call now. Call at the bottom of the second hour. Where Danny and I are going to return to talk about this shooting of Devontae Wright in Brooklyn Center, which Danny's eager to address, and which we wouldn't have time if we began taking callers now. So we're going to defer taking callers for 30 more minutes. Danny has another of these shooting incidents we want to address. And if you turn on your TV, you're going to see there's all kinds of rabble-rousing going around about reimagining law enforcement. Danny, I have no idea what they have in mind, but it looks to me like everything the Democrats have been moving for is going to create chaos in society, defunding the police, removing law enforcement. It's going to be every man and woman for himself. Outrageous. Here's the break now. We'll be right back with Danny Cirrus.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I think everyone out there is appreciative of why I so value Danny Cirrus and having him as a fairly frequent commentator on this show, because he's making points that most of us who lack the background in law enforcement he possesses might miss. In fact, I think the whole nation has been swept up by the shooting in Columbus, and that it's causing chaos for the Democrats. Gun control and defund the police, really eliminate a law enforcement agenda, I think it's having tremendous damage to the Democrats' political moves here. And therefore, I think it's in fact quite valuable. But if it turns out this is also staged, then it raises a fascinating prospect. Was this one more Democrat effort to promote, just as it appears clear that the Dante Wright shooting was a staged event, where the timing is so incredible, just as they're impaneling the jurors in the Derek Chauvin trial. You get the city of Minneapolis awarding $27 million to the family. So obviously anyone would infer the city of Minneapolis believes that the city of Minneapolis was responsible for the death, or they wouldn't be giving $27 million to the family. And then you have the shooting just as the prosecution concludes its case. You have the reinforcement of a similar shooting of a white officer, in this case female, who purportedly mistakes her handgun for her taser, even though, as I've reported, the handgun is on her hand side. So if she's right-handed, her service revolver's on her right and her taser on her left. If you're left-handed, then your handgun's on your left and your taser on your right. They have a feel that is completely different. The taser is much lighter, typically made out of plastic. It's even yellow or orange. The handgun, of course, made out of metal, doesn't weigh at all the same. She claims she called out taser, 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 and then fires a shot, but no one hears the shot. There's no recoil. There's no reloading. Danny, pick it up from here, my friend.
Can you hear me okay?
You're asked just fine, Danny.
Okay. I got to point these out. You know, you have me on to analyze this stuff, and I just want the audience to know, you know what? I gotta talk about what I see.
Yes.
And what I don't see. What I don't see. You know, and I my fear, sir, always is people are going to be like, man, this guy's always finding something. You know what? I do always find something, and I wish... You know, I analyze a lot of shootings where I don't find something, but it seems like those shootings are not getting covered in the press. It's these high-profile ones that are getting in the press where I find them, all these crazy anomalies. That's just another thing that really bothers me. Why can't I get one of these high-profile shootings where I don't find the anomalies? I find all the names.
I love it, Dan.
Public records. Why can't I find all these people? But, you know, in the ones that get no coverage, I find everybody. So, I mean, that's really... really getting sort of annoying. So let's move on to the Dante Wright shooting, sir. I don't know if you had that video, that short clip, but what happens is the officers, they initiate a traffic stop. So I'll just walk everybody through it. It's a standard traffic stop that they're stopping. And at first, when I talked to you about this, I didn't even see the rotors come on or the lights. A scene at the very end where I do see the lights that are on. But let me tell you right off the bat, sir, what bothers me about this traffic stop. As soon as they initiate the stop, sir, okay, these officers are already briefed on this person, the suspect, and they already know that he is a violent felon, okay? So he's been arrested before, all right? They already know that. They also know that a gun could be involved, okay? They already know that in their head, okay? So they have a briefing. They know who this kid is. I don't care if he's a juvenile. It makes no difference if he's from Mars or Pluto or wherever he's from. They already know that who he is and what the warrant's for and that there could be a gun involved. So they line him up. Now, here's the first problem, sir. This is where we go into called a felony stop. You already know you're going to make a felony arrest. On a felony stop, sir, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to get out of the car. You're going to get on your bullhorn or on your your PA system, and you're going to order the suspect out of the car at gunpoint. So guns are going to come out right off the bat. And the reason why is you're not going to take any chances because this kid, he already knows he's going to lose his freedom. You know it's a felony. You know there's a firearm involved or could be a firearm involved in this, okay? And you already know all these things. So this is a felony stop right off the bat. These officers approach the car like it's just a standard traffic ticket. They have no concern whatsoever. There could be a firearm involved. Nobody grabs for a weapon. They're just nice and calm, and they come open to the door. Now, that's the first problem I have. They're nonchalant, acting like it's just a simple traffic ticket, you know, traffic violation of some sort. That's a problem. This is a felony stop and should have been a felony stop in the beginning. And we can clearly show that they should have known or they knew ahead of time that this was a felony and there was a gun involved. That's the big problem there, okay? So I want to make that clear. So the second problem is there's a white officer that goes up to the door, the passenger door. And you can see on his arm, he's a supervisor, okay? He's got his supervisor patch on his arm, okay? And the black officer goes to the door, all right? Now, I'd be thinking in my head already, car keys, car keys, car keys, okay? And I'll kind of fill that in the beginning, but as I'm walking up to the car, I'd be thinking car keys already. So he walks up, and he's looking through the window, and the black officer goes to get the suspect out of the car. Now, the suspect gets out of the car pretty calmly and pretty quickly. What I find strange, though, is that the supervisor officer on the other side, keep in mind he's a supervisor, sir, so he's highly trained, okay, and teaches people all this stuff. He just stands there and does nothing. He doesn't come around to try and make the arrest or help with the arrest. He doesn't try to secure the car. He doesn't try to reach into the car to get the car keys so the suspect can't make it get away, okay? It's a technique that police often use where you want to secure those car keys right away so he can't get into the car and turn it into a weapon. So he knows this. He didn't get the car keys or try to get the car keys, and he stands there while the black officer brings the suspect out of the car, okay? It looks like he feels him for a weapon, okay with that, goes to get the handcuffs, but he leaves the door open, okay? And the supervisor's still standing on the other side of the car. Now I'm thinking, what kind of a supervisor is going to stand there on the other side of the car with a suspect out of the car, okay? And you're making a felony arrest, okay? Why isn't he around closing the door of the car? Why isn't he securing those car keys? He would be trying to cover up an escape route of this felon that you're making arrest. It's just standard procedure. But yet he stands there with his thumb up his butt over on the other side of the car. Again, being a supervisor. Like he's just observing. And it makes no sense. You know, finally the female comes over and tries to seem like she's going to help a little bit. She doesn't really do much, okay? And this, as soon as he brings out the cuffs and goes to make the arrest and put handcuffs on the suspect, the suspect starts to fidget, and what does he do? He immediately bolts right into the car, okay? It doesn't look like much of an effort to stop him, okay? I don't see the classic arm around the neck and pull down. The black officer was quite a big, larger guy, a little bit larger, he looked like to me, a little bit taller than the suspect was. And, you know, I didn't see an effort. He could have easily put his arm around his neck and leaned back and pulled him to the ground. I mean, that wouldn't have happened to me. I would have grabbed him around the neck, used all my weight backwards, and I would have pulled him off balance. He wouldn't have got back in the car. I would have kicked the door closed. Immediately when I pulled the suspect out of the car, okay, my partner would have closed that car door. So we're going to cut off the escape route. But if he didn't do it, I would have turned the guy to the right and kicked the door closed with my or made up an excuse to close that car door. I'm not going to let the suspect slip back into the car. Everybody knows the suspect's going to try to get back in the car, especially if the car keys are in there. So my partner would have already known to get in the car and get the car keys. I don't see an effort at all. And while this is all going on, I'm going to point out again, the white cop on the other side that's a supervisor is doing nothing. He's just standing there like he's watching a movie. He's not trying to help with the arrest or anything. The struggle breaks out, and sure enough, the black man slips into the car, okay, and gets in the car and drives off. And now they're pulling and tugging on him, and then you get the female officer pulls out her Glock pistol. She's got a Glock handgun, standard issue for most police departments, either the 9mm or the 40 caliber, okay, Glock pistol. She goes to pull it out, and she takes a long time to tell him, I'm going to tase you. Get out of the car. I'm going to tase you. She tells him a few times, and she's looking down the slide of her gun. It's very clear. Everybody can see it. And, you know, she knows it's a firearm. It's not a taser. She's got plenty of time to switch and realize, hey, I got my firearm. This doesn't happen that quickly, sir. It's not a flash. She has plenty of time. She's talking. She's delivering sentences. But about a taser, and she can clearly see that she has her firearm. She drew from her right side, not from her left side. She knows it's not a taser. It doesn't have a bright color to it. Everybody knows where their firearm is. It's ridiculous. You drill over and over and over again. You know, like a carpenter. When a carpenter pulls a hammer out of his belt, he draws it every single time. He knows the difference between his hammer and his chisel. Cops know the difference between their firearm and their taser. So she's got it in her hand. And when she goes to draw and deploy her firearm, sir, there's no gunshot, okay? And here's how I can tell you several ways by analyzing this video, there's no gunshot. First of all, you don't see any blood or reaction to the suspect. His shirt is up. You can see his skin. You would have seen a smack. He would have taken that impact hard. The second thing you don't see, sir, is you don't see any muzzle blast from the firearm. There'd be smoke coming out of the firearm. And you'd see maybe a flash, maybe not, depending on the sunlight. You might not see the flash, but you're going to see a lot of residual smoke from the firearm. The other thing you don't see is you don't see the black officer who's standing right next to the barrel of the firearm, sir. He's just to the right, and literally that bullet is passing by his side. So the muzzle blast from her firearm, sir, it gives off tremendous pressure. Anybody that has ever stood next to a firearm when it goes off, when the bullet comes out of the barrel of the gun, the blast comes out around the round. It goes out to the sides, okay? It's called muzzle blast, all right? There's different names for it. We used to call it muzzle blast. And you can feel the concussion or the pressure of that muzzle blast if you're within a few feet of that gun. It's loud, and you can feel it on your body. And the other officer doesn't even react to the muzzle blast that hit him right in the side of the right in the side there. So, I mean, he would have reacted sort of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what I mean? Because that bullet went right by him. If you watch it in slow motion, she's holding her Glock pistol, and that officer is still right there within inches of that of the firearm going off. He doesn't even react. And then the door closes. The suspect doesn't even act like he's shot. You don't hear a gunshot. You don't see any evidence of gunshot. You don't see the impact of the bullet. I mean, why are these? Why can't I see the impact of the bullet? I sent you a video the other day of a real police shooting. You can clearly see the impact of the bullet. You know what I mean? You can see the blood all over the place. But again, this is one of those high-profile events where all these anomalies show up. Can I see the bullet, please? Can I see some blood? Can I see the impact? I don't get to see any of that. And then the other thing moving on is there's no reaction from the black officer from the muzzle blast. Absolutely none. He's not shocked. He's not, oh my God, you know what? There'd be shock on his face because he just felt that muzzle blast when he wasn't expecting it, okay? So then when it's over, the door closes and the guy drives off, gets the car started quickly and drives off. She looks at the black guy and the supervisor on the side and said, I think I just shot him. And the guy says, really? No, sir. He just felt the muzzle blast from the firearm inches away from his body. And he's saying, really? I mean, they're surprised that she shot him. Like, they don't know. Like, the guy, the whole time the supervisor on the other side, where the struggle is taking place, all, you know, a little bit of time goes by in that video. And he just stands there as a supervisor, like, with this perplexed look on his face. He didn't try to affect and help during the rest the whole time. What was he even doing there? This was a felony arrest. And he's just standing over there nonchalant, doing nothing, just with his arms crossed, not doing a damn thing to help. I mean, this thing was so staged, sir, that it's beyond staged and comical, this Dante Wright thing. Okay, and then here's another big problem with this stop. A huge problem. If you notice in the video, sir, they blur out the license plate, okay, and they blur out the suspect's face. Okay, well, why do they blur out the license plate? Because they don't want guys like me to run the plate. That's why. Okay, they blur out the plate. Now, if you notice in real police videos, they don't blur out the license plate. Okay, and why was the suspect face blurred out? Why? The media showed his picture all over the world. I mean, he was everywhere, right? On every news broadcast. They showed him with a gun. They showed him wearing a hat. I saw pictures with a red hat. It's just different outfits he had worn. You know, they showed his face everywhere. Why were they blurring his face out? He's not a minor. So that made no sense. And then as I watched the video, I don't know, I watched at least 25 or 30 times frame by frame looking for the impact of the bullet. You know something else I noticed, sir? They're telling us that the suspect was 20 years old, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, he's 20 years old, so he's in pretty good shape, right? Most 20-year-old black kids are pretty thin, okay, and they're in pretty good shape. So when I look at his photographs that they posted on the news, he was in pretty good shape. He was a thin kid, okay, not heavy set whatsoever. You look at his arms, they were kind of narrow, wasn't a weightlifter type of kid, but, you know, he was a skinny kid. But yet when I see the face blur, I started looking at the body, sir, and the body does not match. The man that they're arresting in that Dante Wright video has a gun on him, sir. He's fat. Go back and look at the video.
I love it, Danny. I love it.
It's not the same man, sir. So what happened? Did he, at like 18, are they showing us pictures of him when he was like, you know, 19 and all of a sudden he went on a food binge and he's fat now? You know what I mean? He's got a gun on him like a 30 or 40-year-old? You know, how convenient. They blurred his face, sir, because that's not the same kid. They're showing us pictures of some kid. You know, who knows who that kid is in those pictures, but they're showing us pictures of a kid that was supposedly killed. But I got to call it out, sir. You're a forensic guy. You're the king at pointing out face this and these kind of anomalies, it's not the same person. The arms don't match and the gut doesn't match. The physique is totally different. So that's why they blurred the face out, because it's not him. And then they used some pictures from some other thing. It's the whole thing, sir, was completely contrived and total BS.
Wonderful, okay. wonderful, Danny. Listen, I have another video you sent where I think we see an actual gunshot victim. Let me play part of it and we can talk about it.
Hello, I'm Modesto Police Chief Galen Carroll, and I'm here to talk to you about an officer-involved shooting that occurred at the 100 block of West Robin Hood Drive in the city of Stockton on October 20th at approximately noon. Prior to that officer-involved shooting, the Modesto Police Department was investigating a double homicide that occurred on Friday, October 16th at approximately 9 p.m. During that shooting, three victims were shot in front of a residence. Two of those victims later passed away at the hospital. The investigation determined that it was a lone shooter who had initially targeted a residence a few doors away, firing multiple rounds into that house. The victims were innocent bystanders who were shot as a suspect fled the area. The investigation determined that 27-year-old David Cummings Jr. out of Stockton was responsible for the double homicide. Mr. Cummings has an extensive criminal history, including a homicide arrest in 2011, where four victims were shot. The San Joaquin District Attorney declined to file in that case. Mr. Cummings also has multiple gun arrests, as well as another shooting, theft, robbery, resisting arrest, battery on a police officer, and he recently finished a 64-month prison sentence. Officers tracked Cummings to a park located at the 100 West Robin Hood Drive in the city of Stockton. Cummings was still in the vehicle that was used to flee the double homicide in Modesto.
Copy, bottom's got the bang. All units set, stand by for deployment.
Who's got the front?
Castro. Good, ready?
Yep.
Deploy in 3, 2, 1, let me move in.
Not bleeding out of it.
Yeah, what's going on there? Yep.
Hey, man.
I'm a little late. Come on, buddy.
Hey.
Come on. You okay?
I'm responsive.
We need all unresponsive. Location heading into the car and clock off.
Hey. Maybe. He's breathing. Talk to me.
Chris, are you doing this thing?
You checking the pulse?
Hey. What's up, buddy? Wake up.
Where else do we have holes?
Come on, buddy.
Yep.
Holes, where else do we have holes?
You got one on the side right here.
Okay. Where else?
That's the only one I know.
Just get them rolled over, check them to the front. See if we have any through and through.
Oil, yeah, you're right.
On.
Yep.
You're right. Thank you. I got it.
Weapon.
Where is this one?
Got another one on the
left.
Chest.
Put a heart on there. Breathe okay.
Hey, let's get these hooks off them.
I got another tourniquet going right leg. Where's
the other? Get these hooks off of them. Let's get those hooks off.
We got a cup key.
Oh,
hey,
right there. Yeah.
Danny, I want you to comment about this because that certainly looks like a bona fide shoot, a real victim, real blood, real bullet holes. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, I think the terminology is interesting. He said so-and-so's got the bang, let's go. He's referring to the man that's getting ready to deploy deadly force. The rifle, they call the rifle the bang there. And the hooks are basically the handcuffs, if people don't know what hooks meant. But what happened in that, sir, is that was a professional team. Those guys were extremely professional to make that arrest. That was a felony arrest. They knew what they were going into. They had deadly force. They had less lethal ready to go. And they all had a role to play. They even had medical already ready to go. And they had a trauma bag sitting there ready to deploy. And you can see through the trauma bag on the ground. They got to work immediately. You cut the video off a little bit, but when they roll them off, they pull his shirt down. You can see, sir, he's got massive holes in his chest from those AR rounds.
Yeah, you want me to pull? What, should I pull it back?
That's okay. I mean, you know, I figured you'd probably cut it off. It's a little bit gory, but I mean, you can see in that video, sir, what the flesh looks like when a bullet rips through it. Okay, and I don't want to be too gory, but I mean, that's a gunshot victim. There's carnage laying on the floor. You can see his skin, debris, and blood laying all over the place. It's going on their shoes. It's all over the place. That's what a real gunshot victim looks like, sir. Okay, he's out of it. You can see he's got a sucking chest wound. They have to put, I forgot the name of that gauze that goes over. It's a sealed gauze that goes over and it covers up those wounds. And
got the break. We will take callers after the break, but I'll play more of the footage, Danny, when we come back. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Danny, we don't have any callers yet. I'm going to return to the video here and pick it up pretty close to where we left off. And let's see what, you know, get that sense of actual shots.
Yep. Hey, we got a vet coming to help you. All right, just keep breathing.
Just in case, I don't know, so we're going to use this.
And, no, wait, no, it's not going to happen. Come on. It's not going to happen.
Come on, buddy.
Life's too important, man.
You got this, Ben. Come on.
Hello?
Never that bad, ma'am. All right? Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, go with Mark. It's her up.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to throw this on there just because. I don't know if this got long or not.
I took a couple.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right. Get that hand out from above.
Hey, just keep. You're good. You're good.
I know.
Just keep taking the help. You're doing fine. Nice, easy. You're good. We're here to help you. All right, bud? All right.
Keep pressure on. For now, it's fine. No, these are vents. These are vents. He's on.
According to witnesses, Cummings had made statements that he would not go back to prison and that he had nothing left to lose. Officers were tasked with attempting to safely take a violent double homicide suspect into custody and to prevent his escape and further threats to the community. When officers attempted to take Cummings down, he fled on foot and pulled a handgun, and an officer-involved shooting occurred. The gun in his possession was the weapon that was used in the double homicide. Immediately after the shooting, life-saving measures were taken by the officers to ensure that Cummings could get to the hospital and eventually face the justice system for his crimes. This case is being investigated by the Stockton Police Department, the San Joaquin County District Attorney's Office, the California Department of Justice, and the Modesto Police Department.
Danny, the you know, they can't see any more of the shooting here. I want you to go ahead and comment on this. We do have a caller standing by. I'll bring in momentarily. But, well, you know, I was very impressed with how the Stockton chief of police handled this. He laid out the whole case. He showed what was involved. He gave a background on the suspect, how they knew this was a dangerous guy, how they took him down and then rendered immediate, emergency treatment.
They're just, They were extreme. That's a professional crew, sir. Those are real cops. You can see the training kick in. You know, the suspect was an idiot. The guy's a felon. And you know what? For him to pull out his I don't know why these guys want to hold on to their firearms like it's a freaking Bible. I mean, he knew that he was done. If he was smart, he would have just ran without the gun. But when he turned around and had the firearm in his hand, he got hammered with that AR, the bank. That's what they called it. I mean, he took 6 or 7 5.56 rounds. And you notice the AR-15, sir, he's a heavyset big guy. So for future shootings that we investigate, I want you to notice how quickly it dropped that suspect. I mean, it dropped him flat. Okay, I mean, he just was done. Bam, on the ground, and there was carnage all over the place. There was blood all over the place, skin fragments everywhere. I mean, it was a big mess. That guy was bleeding everywhere. There was blood going all over the place. That's a real shooting. So me and you have investigated so many of these shootings where the next day, Anderson Cooper will interview somebody that has a little Band-Aid on their leg when they took a rifle round. It's so ridiculous. The damage from these shootings, you know, getting back to the girl that was shot 4 times with a handgun. Why don't I see blood all over the place? Where's the gunshot wounds? The guy couldn't even find any. Where's the impact from the rounds? I'm sorry. That was a real shooting. Everything that I called out, we've seen in that last video. We saw the impact of the rounds. We saw the devastation from the bullets. We saw the blood. We saw everything that you would normally see. We saw professional police. Right? I mean, isn't it? I thought it was amazing, sir. This is the guy that we're going after. He's killed several people. He's on, you know, that's why they were going after him. But yet the same cops, after they took him down with deadly force, they're sitting there trying to save the guy's life. They could have just stood around and watched the guy die. I'm sure all of them are thinking in their head, you know what, why are we saving this POS so he can go to prison? We're going to have to pay all this money. And then what are they going to do, let him out so he can kill some more people? But they weren't doing that. They were using all their medical training, everything they had to try and keep this guy alive. And we don't see any of that at these high-profile events that me and you cover. We see a lot of trauma bag. We don't see any of that.
Danny, you've convinced me that the Columbus, Ohio shooting was staged. I'm convinced by it, just as the Dante Wright was staged. Very similar parallel analysis that applies to them both. We have a caller from the 410 area code. Caller, just give us your first name and state. Join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. My first name is Scaredy.
Your last name is Cat. Yes. Go ahead, Scaredy. Go ahead, Scaredy.
And so just a big thank you to you, Jim, and Danny, who is an actual good policeman, because it's very important for us to know, the general public, what actual police training is. And if Danny could just continue, you know, Jim, if you could keep inviting him into the future, because I know we have only a quarter of an hour left, to let us know what is actual police training. And also, whenever he catches a bad move, to underline for us that is either like a fake police training, in the sense of it's like a media shebang or something, you know, in cahoots with whatever they want to hypnotize us with pixels on the screen, as Dennis Fetcher says, and also two different deceptions. One is what is fake and that they're trying to pull a wool over our eyes. And the second one is if he actually hears of actual bad police training that is coming in to, you know, traditional good police training in the past. If you could let us know, and also how people locally can fight the bad new incoming training, that is brutal training. And just a big thank you, and I'm naming Danny the Czar of good police, just like I named you, Jim, as our People's Bureau of Investigation. And I have something more to say in general on media, but maybe if there's later time.
Well, let me get Danny to respond. And yes, Scaredy, I mean, Danny's so good. And he and I have done many shows, a number you have probably have not seen, that you could find at jimtheconspiracyguy.com on a multiplicity of issues. Danny was the first to tip me off that the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash appeared to have been a fake stage event as well. Danny, go ahead. Anything you'd like to say to Scaredy?
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to say I like your voice. I tend to hear some German in there. I apologize if I'm wrong, but I hear a German accent. I like the sound of the voice. I appreciate the compliment. I want her to know and the rest of the audience that, you know, as I analyze these things, you know, I work with Dr. Fetzer, and I want people to understand that I run this stuff by him sort of for like an approval before I even go on air. Like often I'll confer and I'll say, sir, this is what I see. What do you think? You know what I mean? In case I miss something. So, you know, I show it to him and we'll talk about it. And then, you know, we decide we'll put it out there on the air. And, you know, we just, both of us, I think, have sort of this thing where we see it. It's so obvious. And we just have to show the public what's going on in this con. You know, I just have this burning inside that I'm tired of, you know, I see the real thing all the time, but I'm tired of seeing this fake hocus pocus being shown to us, this propaganda, whatever you want to call these staged events, to achieve a goal. You know, I'm never going to understand this defund the police thing unless they want militias to take over and fighting to break out on the streets. I mean, if we had seriously no police, sir, militias would hit the streets and a lot of people would start getting shot because, I mean, it would be real bad real fast. The military would have to come in. Okay, there's been many scenarios ran on this, and there'd be a lot of bodies laying all over the street. So believe me, people don't want
Danny. Danny, the whole idea is idiotic. I mean, it's completely idiotic. I can't believe anyone buys into it. Scaredy, do you or Danny have any idea what they mean when they talk about reimagining police? You know, I mean, when you defund the police, crime goes up. You reduce the cops on the street, crime goes up. Is that what they want? Just a swamp of crime across the nation? I find the whole thing bizarre. Scaredy, your thoughts?
Yeah, reimagine just means snip, snip, cut yourself off from reality with a big scissor. You just, in the meantime, you know, the filthy rich people, as I call them, filthy rich, whoever they are, they are friends with the filthy rich who own the media. So the filthy rich, you know, who are pushing our government officials to do something, the filthy rich, how many are they? Maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people on our planet. They are flooding us. The reason why I bring up media is, and of course, defund the police is a government thing. So how are the two related? The filthy rich media is pushing complete fantasy. I don't even want to use the word fantasy because fantasy is usually a good thing, good things you imagine, but is pushing just unreal because they take one small incident, even in an innocent way. Even if there's no, what I mean is, even if there's no shooting involved, there might be like to show, oh, there's this great public disapproval of some item, some topic. There might be disapproval. Oh, general public disapproves of quote climate change, which is one of their fictitious fake subjects. Then they will take a handful of people, two or three or four people that they got together with signs and shoot it with such camera angles so that it looks like a huge public outcry and the public wants, you know, gasoline cars removed and electric cars to come in. Where, of course, really the filthy rich have decided a few years ago that they want to get rid of gasoline, which is totally... It keeps cars in our, in other words, individual general public's hands, command, that we can have some you know, moving about ability. If every day I see each new parking lot that I go into, or even old parking lots, I see a new electric plug-in for a car. They're starting off with just one. Usually there's two plug-in stations at Walmart, these big places, again, filthy rich corporations, introducing this thing slowly, and they're just going to swamp us with, oh, there's a big public outcry. The public wants, you know, battery cars. Then they can justify, you know, crushing Afghanistan into dust in order to mine their beautiful mountains for lithium, which is what these cars need. So these things, war, you know, the military, filthy rich, the media, filthy rich, the government, in terms of police in this case, filthy rich, they're all in cahoots with each other to show us, you know, reimagine the police, defund the police, so that we are in a we get pushed, that the public starts imagining. Reimagine means we need less police because of that one bad apple, that one guy who did the police.
But Scaredy, you know, it's so stupid on its face. I mean, how can any American find it at all persuasive, the idea of defunding or abolishing law enforcement? I mean, it's absolutely stark, raving mad. That thin blue line is what differs us from civilized society and savages. I mean, it's outrageous. Danny, your thoughts. What have you discerned that the Democrats have in mind when they talk about reimagining law enforcement? I mean, this is just ludicrous.
Well, you know, they're nut jobs, sir. They want chaos in this country. I'm not sure if they want fighting in the streets. I'm wondering sometimes if they think that, you know, more gun violence will break out on the streets and therefore they'll somehow be able to call some kind of an emergency to get rid of guns. We know that they want to abolish the Second Amendment and want to take all firearms away from the people because they're afraid of the people. Their overall agenda, the 2030 agenda, they're not going to be able to carry it out in the United States as long as people are armed. They're just not going to be able to do it. And their number one goal is to try and take firearms somehow or abolish the Second Amendment. So I wonder if by, you know, taking away the police brings up the violence in these inner cities, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe they want people to get so frustrated with this crime in the inner cities that law-abiding citizens are going to hit the streets with their own guns and to put the problem down. And then they come out and say, see, now we got to take guns. Because, you know, they're out there shooting innocent black people.
Danny, I'll tell you, 100%, they're not going to get the guns from the American people. Everyone understands the necessity to keep their guns. They've blown it. They have completely blown it. Americans aren't going to give up their guns. I don't give a damn what moves of Biden, Harris, or any other Democrat administration makes. It ain't going to happen. I thought Scaredy made a very interesting point about the lack of mobility. If you go to electric cars, they have a much more limited range. So what you're really destroying is the ability of Americans to travel, you know, long distances in gasoline-powered automobiles that everyone can afford. The electric cars are more expensive. You got the problem with electric cars you have with nuclear energy, disposal of the waste. No one knows how to dispose of electric car batteries. And it's idiotic to think that you should have a whole industry emerge where you don't have a proper method of waste disposal. So, Scaredy, I do think you're putting your finger on some key issues, and the idea of turning CO2, you know, into some dangerous product. When trees exist, they recycle CO2 and they turn it into oxygen. I mean, for God's sake, this is calamitously stupid. And I'm beginning to get the impression the Democratic Party is not only a party of complete idiots, but they're massively stupid enough to believe some of their own propaganda. Scaredy.
Jim, I think, you know, when, so two parts. One, just quick question to, before we get off the air, to Danny, if he can recommend actual shooting ranges, especially I'm looking for run by Christians. if he can just recommend in a couple of states, he doesn't have to give away where he lives, but if he personally knows of a good guy who's running Christian academies, gun training. I had heard that some pastors were doing training, but I'm Muslim, so I'm not part of a parish. So,
Danny, let me intervene, Scary. Danny, shouldn't there be a simple way for persons in different communities to look up where gun ranges are and where they can get shooting instructions, firearm training? If you go to a gun store, Scarity, or even any of the larger stores where they sell guns, they will give you advice as to where you can go to shooting ranges and get instruction on firearm safety. Danny, would you follow up?
What I would say, sir, I just renewed that. I got a friend in the state that's an older gentleman that just getting into firearms. And what I did is I did exactly that. I said, let me take care of it. So I called a gun store in his state, talked to the owner, explained to him who I was and what I was trying to do. And he said, look, just send your friend down here, Danny, and I'll take care of it. So I did exactly that. I told my friend, his name was Gerald. I sent him down there. He met him. He called me when he got there, and they really took care of him. Not only did they help him pick out a firearm that I suggested, but they set him up in the right classes to take from the beginner on in to the advanced, because he wanted to get a license so he can carry a firearm. So what I would tell you, Scary, is go to a local firearm store that's been in place in your area, maybe visit a few different stores, not just one, and tell them that you're considering buying a firearm, you've never had training, and could they give you the local places that do the training, and they will point you to the reputable schools. I don't know what state you're in. There's also some big firearm academies in the United States. One particular that comes to mind in Nevada is called Front Sight. Front Sight. You can go on YouTube and look up their videos. Their website is called frontsight.com. A lot of good information on there. That's a big academy where law-abiding citizens can go. You can train for 3, 4, 5 days. Most guys that work there are law enforcement or ex-military. It's a great place to learn firearm safety if you're very serious. They have extensive classes from beginning all the way to advanced.
Scaredy.
So I would start with your local gun store.
Scaredy, before I come back to you, I just want to shout out to Paul that he's not banned from the show. I just want him to follow my lead when I have other callers, that he not talk over them. I appreciate his participation in the show. I'm not ruling him out. I welcome him back. Just follow my lead, Paul. That's all I ask. Scary, you have further comments.
Yeah. So, again, two things. One little thing, three things. So, hello, Paul. Come back. You're great. second thing is, Danny, the German you might be hearing in me is Bangla, the language of Bangladesh. And just like Desh means... Desh means country or land. So it's the land of the Bangla-speaking people, just like Deutschland is the land of the German-speaking and German people. And they're both actually Aryan languages. We grew up knowing. It was just everybody knew without it having to be said. It was just general knowledge that the biggest language group in our human family is the Indo-Aryan language family. And we all lived maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years ago in Central Asia, and there was a Proto-Indo-Aryan language, which proto means it was a language we spoke together. So some of our cousins walked westwards and ended up in Europe, and of course there sailed to America to create United States of America. And some cousins walked down to the subcontinent, which is Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Bhutan. And so we have the same words, and the German, you know, precise, beautiful German engineering. We are poetic, so we do have shipbuilding engineering, but more in we precisely pronounce every letter, vowel, and consonant. So that's what
Scaredy, those are wonderful points. You know, you might like my book, The Evolution of Intelligence, which talks about genetic and cultural evolution from humanity, which originated in Africa. Let me bring in Brew here in the last minute or two. Brew, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I heard on Danny's take with that Bryant thing with the 16-year-old chasing this girl in the pink and whatever. Is he diagnosing that as analyzing that?
State shooting approximately as authentic as the Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center.
I've only so far come up where they actually put a blur around the body, so I'm not even absolutely sure what I'm seeing. But it is funny when in one video is like watching the video and they're like, all right, wait for the cops to show up, 1, 2, 3, action. And then all of a sudden, all this activity happens, and then, you know, whatever. Danny also mentioned Kobe Bryant and the helicopter crash being fake, phony, and false. I'd like him to rehash on that in the future. But, Danny, what's your take on the Tiger Woods accident? What do you know about that? Anything?
Oh, interesting, yeah.
I forgot to mention also what the Dante Wright had it here on the bottom of my notes, Dr. Fitz. I should have had it on the top. I know we're running short on time, but when I did a background on him, the problem is I can't find that kid in the state where he lives. I found nobody in the United States that his age, and I did find in other states, but they weren't him. So again, the database of records, everybody that's born
very
in
good.
The United States is in there. And again, he's not there, sir. So he came up as a ghost. So that really bothered me with the Dante Wright.
Good.
As far as the Tiger Woods thing goes, I didn't really investigate that much. They were very hush-hush on the information. We didn't get a lot of photographs. We didn't get a lot of information from that whole thing. That thing was really done on kind of the QT, and there wasn't a lot of evidence to examine. We had a lot of hearsay stories, but those were just hearsay stories. We had no evidence. With a Kobe crash, we actually had real evidence that me and Dr. Fetz were able to pick through. We had a lot of physical evidence that we're able to pick through and we can identify. And that took us in, you know, several different directions to break that down. But again, with this Tiger Woods thing, it's hard to say exactly what happened, if it really did happen, or, you know, what was the cause. There's no way of really getting into that.
Let me just add what I discerned. Police won't talk about that the Tiger knows what happened. He was driving double the speed limit on a dangerous curve, and they say that you'd have to get the information from Tiger. I find that very, very damn peculiar. Bruce, thanks for calling. Thanks, Charity. Danny, a brilliant job, my friend, a brilliant job. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies. Champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage.